Humanity is growing and connecting. Tomorrow's world needs more energy from more places.
But to find our net zero future, we must overcome the natural constraints of many new energy sources.
This is the Energy Transition Solutions Podcast, where we look at the energy challenges of modern life and the innovators finding solutions. Join us for a low-carbon, high-energy conversation with your host, Joe Battier.
This views of the host are his own and should not be viewed as those of any business, corporation, or government entity.
Hello, and welcome to the Energy Transition Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Battier. This is the show where we bring you low-carbon, high-energy stories from the people solving the energy challenges of modern life. Funny story, that was my third attempt at doing this on my own, and I still got it wrong. But you know what? This time, we're just going to keep going. So today, you probably have realized there's a different feel to the show. That is because I am solo today. I am doing this on my own. No guest, just me, my thoughts, and my rambling to the audience, you, dear listener. So with that, I want to give an update, mostly the ideas that I've been traveling. You've been listening to episodes talking about NAEP for the past few weeks. I want to give a review of NAEP, kind of what I saw now that I've had some time to think about it, more than the conversation, that short snippet with Mike in the last episode. Then I want to give you just a few other thoughts that I've been thinking about lately, just because they're there and I have a mic. And then last thing is jumping into CERAWeek, giving you a preview of CERAWeek, telling you what it is, why I enjoy it so much, all of that. So instead of telling you what I'm going to talk about, because I've been doing that now for 2 minutes, let's actually talk. The first thing I wanted to touch on was NAEP. So for all of you who don't know, NAEP is the North American Prospecting Expo. It is where people go to sell deals. Their slogan is where deals get done. One last shout out to TGS for sponsoring the OGGN NAEP Podcast Pavilion. Thank you to TGS for sponsoring that. It was exciting to have people there. We had two different booths, so we were recording multiple shows, and it was exciting to have just all of these people talking about what they're passionate about and hearing all of the advancements and the exciting prospects and news going on in the energy industry. A larger picture of NAEP, what I saw is there were a lot of people. I think the attendance numbers were somewhere in the 6,000 or 7,000 or 8,000 range. I think that is still small compared to pre-pandemic and pre most recent series of downturns, but there were a lot of people, and the energy was there. I think that is what I noticed most, is that the general energy, the general vibe of the whole show was excitement. It was hope and ready to get deals done. This was previous to recent natural gas prices, but there were a lot of people talking about deals from really the majority of it is U.S. focused. So there were a lot of domestic deals being done, but I saw a lot from the Gulf Coast, a lot from the Permian. There were a lot of larger mid-sized operators there, which was cool to see. And then there were also deals in places like the DJ Basin and the Powder River Basin. So there were even a few from Illinois and Michigan. So the Illinois and Michigan basins, where I grew up, those are near and dear to my heart. And it's always exciting to see new developments and new energy being produced from those areas. So I was glad to see those, even though there were only two or three booths that I recall. It's cool to see those. So there was a lot of general excitement and a much higher energy than what I've seen in the past few years. There were also, one thing that was interesting, multiple CCS-focused companies and multiple CCS-focused arms of companies or specific CCS projects. This is something that we have been talking about. CCS is growing interest, especially with the tax credits and almost additional tax credits through the IRA. But in the past few years, you really haven't seen that. You haven't seen the emphasis on the CCS. And one group that I think everybody is familiar with their CCS projects is Oxy. Oxy, this year at their booth, from what I saw, one of the main positions for the booth was taken up by their DAC or direct air capture project that they are building out in the Permian. So that was what they were highlighting. This is what they wanted to show. So it's cool to see all of this excitement around CCS. And hopefully I'll be having some of these groups on the show in the coming months, but it was a noticeable and measurable amount of CCS work that is being done and that is now being shown at NAEP. I found that to be exciting. And I think that is a trend that we are going to continue to see as people talk about CCS and as we talk about how to decarbonize while also keeping abundant energy. CCS is going to have to play a role. The big question is, what kind of role? Where is it going to be? How is that going to take place? And when are we going to start getting permits and get wells in the ground? The next point that I wanted to highlight was that there really weren't that many alternative energy companies there. That may be a duh kind of statement, but in the past few years, really post-pandemic, NAEP has had an energy transition pavilion. It's one, if you've ever been to NAEP, they've always had the International Prospect Pavilion. And then more recently, they've added the Energy Transition Pavilion and also the Bitcoin Mining Hub or Pavilion. With the Energy Transition Pavilion, last year, I recall there being multiple companies, I think maybe even a wind company was there. And there were landmen, there were solar projects, there were geothermal companies. There was a wide swath of representation last year. This year, there were only a handful that I distinctly remember. And it was different, I think, because as we talk about what the energy market is doing, with all of the growth that's occurring and with all of the subsidies that are included and tax credits included in the IRA, I'm surprised that there weren't more individuals at this conference. Now, that could be because they are going to larger conferences. If you've ever been to some of the major solar conferences or major utility electricity conferences out there, those have comparable tens of thousands of people numbers. So at the small side, they are as big as NAEP. At the larger side, they are two to three times the size of NAEP from this year. So maybe that is where you can get more traction in a specific field like solar or like wind, but it was interesting to see not as many companies focused in here at NAEP and trying to do what I think is going to be a real mover in the market, that being micro installations, building out microgrids, building out a distributed energy network. So it was interesting that I didn't start seeing more of that, but there were some that I found very fascinating. And again, hopefully I'm going to have them on the podcast soon, but if not, it is cool. The companies that I did see, I'm excited about. Now, the big question is, there's no question here. I'm reading my notes wrong. I'm going to the next topic. The next point in the NAEP conversation. As much fun as I had walking the floor, talking to the different booths, and seeing what everybody was trying to sell, the most important part about NAEP is just being there. One anecdote, which could be multiple, could be the other 30 conversations I had, very similar set. I go in the first day, and first thing I do is go and blow my nose because I have terrible allergies. So I'm going to the bathroom to blow my nose. I walk out. And then I see a guy who works for a company, haven't seen him, haven't talked to him in 2 or 3 years. And I'm like, oh, what are you doing here? And then we have a 20-minute conversation. And now we're back exchanging emails. That is a complete random chance, except for the fact that everybody is at NAEP. So being at NAEP is the most important part. Not necessarily being on the show floor. That's where you can go and meet companies that you don't know about and go and target individuals and target individual plays that you want to go learn more about. But the opportunities and the actual deals getting done, you really have to be there. You have to be walking, talking with everybody. And it doesn't stop at 5 when the show floor closes. At 5, then you go to the after parties. You go and meet and mingle and talk with as many people as you can. If you're not there, it's a lot harder to do that, meaning not really possible to do that. I think if anybody has had this similar experience, you can think of this like LinkedIn versus a conference happy hour. On LinkedIn, you send a message to somebody and you start the conversation. As soon as you get that sales pitch, that conversation's dead. It's done. But at a conference and at a happy hour, you start talk about what you do, yada, yada, yada. Everybody's a lot more laid back. And then that whole sales pitch, whatever it is, it's really a conversation among friends or newly formed friends. It is not so much a, hey, I just met you on this platform and connected, and now I'm sending you a pitch, and then you get shut down. It's not like that in a conference setting. So it's important to be there. And because so many people are there and they already have this mindset of, I either want to buy something or I want to sell something, I feel like NAEP is one of those places that is almost the safest place to go and be selling yourself, selling your products, selling your prospects. It's one of those safe spaces to do that. Now, I want to go back to this idea of natural gas. Currently, natural gas is low. It is, I don't know what it is today, but it is hovering. Yesterday, it was hovering around $1.70 at the Henry Hub. That's pretty low. And that makes a lot of projects not work. and that's for the natural gas side. And I was thinking about this longer yesterday, and there's this thing specifically for geothermal where we try to say our geothermal competitors are not our competitors. We are all in this. We all need to grow, and we need to somehow find a way to help each other grow. That's all great and a fun camaraderie and sentiment. But I think we spend too much time focused on wanting to grow, and we don't spend enough time on understanding where geothermal fits in the market. Now, why is this important? Why am I bringing this up right after NAEP? Why natural gas? Natural gas is the primary competitor to geothermal. Why do I say that? Geothermal is baseload electricity. Now people are trying to sell it as baseload plus dispatchable electricity. The key dispatchable electricity right now really is natural gas peaker plants. So that is a direct competitor to this geothermal dispatchable power. On the flip side, if you're selling low grade heat, what are the primary ways to heat your home? There is natural gas, or there is electricity, or there are heat pumps, presumably, or what I would talk about are geothermal heat pumps or geothermal direct use in a low grade temperature. So of all of these, natural gas currently is the cheapest option. And that is, by being the cheapest option, it's a direct financial competitor to geothermal. And understanding how the natural gas market fits into and how geothermal can fit into the market in those respective areas, that is what geothermal needs to be doing, is understanding how to compete with natural gas. And there's a larger picture here as well, that when we talk about natural gas, it is the lowest carbon hydrocarbon. Why that is important is because as we decarbonize, the first and biggest step is going from coal to natural gas. That's a huge jump. And then going from natural gas to something like geothermal, that's another step. And now we're getting into those really difficult, hard to abate areas. So we're going to see natural gas growth, and people who are natural gas companies, to me, they are the ones who recognize the value of decarbonization while also recognizing the value of energy and power. So they see a pathway to a low carbon future. And so when I think of who is going to be pushing a decarbonization strategy or pushing a decarbonization conversation, I see natural gas as, and anybody working in natural gas as the largest proponents of that. So why does that matter with renewables? Well, if natural gas and the natural gas industry is hurting, they're going to be less inclined to spend money on new ideas that further decarbonize. They're going to be less inclined to set up additional things or additional marketing or additional studies to look at how to decarbonize better. And so if natural gas is hurting, I think it is bad for renewables. one, it makes energy cheaper, which is good in general, but it also makes companies less inclined to decarbonize, and it makes natural gas companies not able to further decarbonize. And then it also means that expensive renewables cannot get on the grid. So it's an interesting dynamic here as we talk about low natural gas prices being bad for energy, specifically for geothermal, and how that is this double whammy. So it's just something I'm thinking about. Feel free to comment and send me your own thoughts, because this is something that I'm not digging in super deeply with. It is more just my observations, looking at LinkedIn, looking at prices, and just trying to, and walking the NAEP floor, seeing where people are and seeing what's going on. So it's an interesting thought. Feel free to comment and add in your 2 cents. So now I need some coffee. So those are some of the things that I've been thinking about lately. I want to talk about these more in this critical sense, something like natural gas and more of these market dynamics more on the show, especially as we are continuing to look to grow decarbonization and grow this energy transition story into what the new energy basket is going to look like, having more critical thought on the show. And as we talk about critical thought and large discourse, one of my favorite places where that occurs is CERAWeek. So if you're not familiar with CERAWeek, CERAWeek is put on by S&P Global. And I lost my tab that had it open, but it is put on by S&P Global. Originally, it was an IHS market event that is now, after IHS market was purchased by S&P Global, now S&P Global is in charge of it. So this is taking place March 18th through the 22nd in Houston, Texas. The theme for this year is multidimensional energy transition, markets, climate, technology, and geopolitics. So this is one of those events where you have nearly every country represented. You have energy executives from the incumbent oil and gas energy, from utilities, from renewable energies. You have governments and regulators in attendance, and everybody having these discussions on what the current state of affairs is and what it's going to take to get to some larger idea. Here talking about what is happening in the energy transition, and talking about the markets and those other aspects, markets, geopolitics, what the climate is doing, and technology. So it's a big, large conversation, and I really appreciate that, and especially appreciate it because you have the decision makers at this event who are there talking about these big, large ideas and large forward-looking strategy on it. Now, because there's a lot of larger publicly traded companies as well as sovereign nations, the conversation is not always detailed. It is it is usually these big, large, overarching, broad statements. I do still think that is very helpful, because you can see where everybody wants to go and you can see how they are thinking through it. There's some reading between the lines, but it is the place where you can get all of that information in a week. Now, a lot of that, what I was just talking about, is on the executive conference side. There's another side to CERAWeek, which is the Agora Innovation side. Now, that is where you get a lot of the smaller companies, any startups in energy, in renewable energies. You have startups across the board looking at some of my favorite ones that I've seen recently. You have solar panel companies that are the solar panels that are in your calculator, now using those to run almost all the autonomous connected devices in your house, having something like that. So that way you've got a smart house that is also continually charged, not being an electricity drain on your system. And then you're also not changing batteries all the time. There was another similar company, except they had a thermoelectric generator, another similar small piece of equipment generating the equivalent of a AA battery that is now replacing all of these small little meters and monitoring devices throughout pipelines and throughout energy infrastructure. That's another area where you're replacing existing batteries with small little generators. Those are the kind of unique ideas that you don't always see. But then, combined with those very, very niche little products that have significant impact, you could also see companies that are working on green cement and green steel, and then larger scale ideas on geothermal companies. And there were a few places like I'm going to forget now, but lots of panel discussions on how to decarbonize specific sectors and how to decarbonize specific products. So that's the Agora Innovation side, where it's a lot of high tech and cutting edge development. It's very fun to see. Some of my past podcasts and some of my past guests, all actually from last year, Fermata Energy, which is a bi-directional charging company. And then I also had the metals company, Gerard Barron, which is a deep sea rare earth element nodule mining company. And then RevTerra, which I didn't have on at the show, but met them at the show. And they're a kinetic battery EV charging station. So three relatively different ideas, ironically, all circling around this idea of batteries and charging and large scale electrification of the grid and of everything. So it's interesting that you've got three distinct areas all meshing together. And that's what you end up seeing at the Innovation Agora side of CERAWeek. And I don't think you could see all of those different things except for at CERAWeek. It would be very hard to go and see each of those. The thing I could think of is if you had a booth or an office space at Greentown Labs, some incubator startup hub where everybody's working on a general theme, like Greentown Labs being green energy. That's where I see this conference being, is it's almost like an all-encompassing green energy, green decarbonization opportunity, and really energy as a whole. So all of that, I feel like I'm starting to ramble now, but it is one of those areas where I think it's a great opportunity to go and see things. So with that idea, one other thing with CERAWeek this year, I wanted to put in a quick shout out. My company, Tavera, will be there presenting. So if you are going to be at CERAWeek, I will be there all week. Please come and find me, send me a message, and we will also be presenting on Tuesday the 19th at 8:30 a.m. I know that's early, but I think you can make it. There's going to be coffee, I'm sure. So go get yourself an espresso and then come on down. We'll be talking about, well, you know what? Well, yeah, we will be talking about the subsurface. And I'm just going to leave it at that. That is kind of what we do. We do all things subsurface, and this is just one of those aspects. So I'm excited to have my CEO there and have us talking about some of the cool things we're doing and be part of this more than just me going around and interviewing people. But with that, I've been rambling for 30 minutes. I think I am going to stop talking now. If you're going to be at CERAWeek, send me a message. If you want to come on the podcast, talk about natural gas and the natural gas market and how it impacts renewable energies, send me a message. If you think I was totally off base on NAEP, you can send me a message. Whatever. But with that, I am going to end the show. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this episode of the Energy Transition Solutions Podcast. If you're enjoying this show, share it with a friend and leave a review telling me what you're enjoying most or what you would like to hear more of. If you want more energy and news-related stories, we have all sorts of energy-related podcasts on OGGN. You can find them by connecting with us on LinkedIn or visiting our website. And finally, if you have any questions, comments, corrections, or have a story that you would like to share, send me an email. That email address is joe.battier@oggn.com. If you don't use email, find me on LinkedIn. And until next time, remember to keep it low carbon and high energy.
Join us again next week for another low carbon, high energy story on the Energy Transition Solutions Podcast, a production of the Oil and Gas Global Network. Learn more at oggn.com.